Today on Real Radio.
Paul the Apostle told Timothy, he said, you cheer up. You live a life that's holy and blameless before all men, and the world, when they come against you, by your godly conduct, they will have no proof of their accusations against you. And he goes on to say in the same verse, thereby glorifying your Father.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2:10, which is really a continuation of Paul's thought in the previous two verses. It's a wonderful proclamation that our justification and sanctification are to be credited to our Lord. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called God's Wonderful Work.
If we take time to take a peek at what God's created in His natural creation, even in the fallen state, it's beautiful. Have you been to Yosemite? It's incredible. You know, been to some of these incredible places. And it's like, oh man, this is so beautiful. Yes, it is beautiful. It's fallen. It's held under the captivity of sin. It's not as great as heaven's going to be. It's not as great as the millennium's going to be when Christ comes back. But it's beautiful. But the amazing thing is God did all of this work in His original creation, and it has fallen. But He has begun a brand new work in us by the Spirit inside of us, and we are like glory in embryo. It's inside of us, waiting to come out. But you look at the glory that God has put into the natural world. Look at the oceans. Isn't it bizarre? You can go down to the beach and stand at the shore. And you ever thought for a moment the volume of the water that's there? And it stops right there. Can you imagine? Think about this. You want to get kind of wiggy. I mean this. Stand at the shore and think of, what is it, 12 or 11 time zones from Newport Beach to Tokyo, and the water that's in between there, and be standing on that shore with that little lap of water hitting your toe. And if the ocean was to hiccup a moment, think about it. What if it was to just burp for a minute? It would go to Vegas. It's massive. And yet God said in Job, I have told the ocean to come right here and no more. It's a miracle. Total miracle. God's creation is incredible. What about the mountains? We live in a very interesting place. In 45 minutes, we can be on the shore or in the snow. Isn't that weird? There's very few places on earth where you can do this. And look at the grandeur of the mountains. You could go over here to San Jacinto and San Gorgonio, 11,000 feet. Amazing. You can go from the ocean to the desert to the snow and tree-lined mountains. God's grandeur, it's incredible. The clouds, I love clouds. I love clouds. I just love clouds. They're a miracle in themselves. Clouds are suspended in the air and they're vaporized state, yet they weigh tons, but they're hanging there in the air. Then at the right moment, when the dew point, the temperature's just right, God just moves the little thermostat up in the sky over a moment, and that dew point and that temperature meet at just the right moment, and that rain falls. And it can knock an airplane out of the sky if it's heavy enough. Absolutely amazing. God's creative powers. And we need to step back. You may think, we're wasting time talking about this. No, we're not. Because we need to look at God's creative powers to realize that power that He spent in creation is nothing compared to what He's done regarding our redemption. The beach, the clouds, the mountains. Here's a good one for all of our evolutionary friends. You ready? Take this to your biology class. A platypus. drives evolutionists insane. It's got a beaver body, lays an egg. It's got a beaver tail, got a duck bill. Doesn't it have a pouch? I'm not sure about the pouch. It's absolutely insane. It's got claws. It's got webbed feet. It's an absolute insane thing. And if, I mean, just that alone, the platypus says God all over it. Because it never should have made it. It's like, do I want to be a duck? Do I want to be a beaver? Do I want to be a chicken? What do I do, man? Somebody tell me. Darwin, help me. And last night we saw this guy that had the fish on the back with the 2 feet, Darwin, you know. And I don't know, you guys. There is no way that a chemist or a biologist, even if they don't believe in God, would have that on their car. There's no way they would do that. Because they got to be smarter than that. So we drove by this guy. I just looked at him. And I just had to realize, just looking at him, this man is not intelligent. It's true. Why did he have that on there? I know why he had it on there. He wasn't convinced of evolution. He's probably anti-God. He may not even been anti-God. He may have been anti-church because somebody burned him or something, you know? He's running from the one who loves him the most. He doesn't even know it. But listen, God's natural powers are so incredible. Okay, it's obvious that we'll do this in 2 parts, okay? Because I'm not about to skip this. I really like this next stuff here. That's why I'm going to tell you about it. I like it. Fruits and vegetables. I'm not talking about Southern California. I am talking about going to the market. I'll never forget the day that Larissa came from Kiev, Ukraine. And we picked her up at the airport and we had to stop at Lucky's over here. And she had never been in a Western, she had never been in an American store. And we walked into the store and she went, all this food. And she stood in the produce part and just looked at it. And what is it, 100 feet? 110 feet? I don't know how long a store is. And it's just, think of this. It's green, yellow, red, orange, light green, dark green, lime green colors. There's different shades of purple. All of these different color foods. Listen, it is the glory of God. There is no reason for that outside the existence of God. The vegetables, the fruits, the colors, what they taste like. Why is it that an orange tastes like an orange? You might say, what a stupid thing to say. Think about it a minute. Think about why is an orange not only beautiful, not only tastes good, but it is so good for you. Because God loves. God cares. I tell you what, if God did not love, I am not kidding when I say this. If God did not love, you would step outside of your house in the morning and you would look up at a sky that is pure brown or orange. Can you imagine the sky just being orange all the time? And a tree being all trees, nothing green. Everything would be black. You know why a tree is green and soothing to the eye, the sky is blue, and the sunset at the right times, the right colors, the right hues? Because God did it. There's no explanation other than the love of God. And He put so much care into a June bug? A June bug that is in the earth for years, and the poor little guy comes out for a moment's time, reproduces, and he dies? God cares. It's amazing. I don't know if God's gonna, I don't know if I'll ever make it to heaven. I don't know if this is gonna work. Listen, come on. You know what? He does not forsake the work of His hands. He is working in your life. Your life is that palette, is that easel that He's working on. And the world needs to hear this message, because what they're trying to do is, they don't understand this, but they're saying, man, my ease and my palate stunk today, and I'm going to go do some drugs to doctor it up a little bit. That's a sad thing. And how many of us were there? Even in this fallen world, there's the beautiful manifestation of God's creative works, and that's the expression of who He is. God's artwork outside these walls is an expression of what's in His heart, and you look around at what God has done, and it is good. What does man do? Well, build a freeway through it. That's what we do. Oh, it's so nice. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. That's really pretty. Let's build a mall. Those are nice trees. Let's cut them down. Isaiah chapter 5 says, woe unto men who build house to house and leave no room for the forest. Man, that's a nice place. Yeah, let's mow it over and put some asphalt down there. Not God. God is so, so excellent in His love for us. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That we are created in Christ Jesus. And what does this mean? First of all, in Christ Jesus, this is the second regarding the person of the Trinity, the Son, the Father. We are His workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus. And this means that we are actually the display of Christ. God makes us. He's molding and shaping us. But what's on display is our lives to promote Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny? Where's Jesus tonight? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Where's the Holy Spirit? Everywhere, but personally in my heart, in your heart. But the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God and trials and worship services and all the things that are going on in our lives to present us, listen, you're not going to like this. I don't like this either, but it's the way it is. To present us to the world in Jesus' place. That we're not Jesus, we're not God, but we are His hands and His feet in this world tonight. Jesus was here for 33 and a quarter years. The Holy Spirit's been here for 2,000 years in the lives of the church. I still find it absolutely wonderful and amazing that the hospitals that have been built around the world have come from Christian organizations in the last 2,000 years. There were no humanitarian centers and relief corporations and ministries until Christianity came on the scene. You think that's a big, tall statement? Check your records of history. It's a fact. Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is working in the church around the world today. It's an amazing thing. That's because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Brand new. The old things of his life have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We can have that in our lives. The first creation was through Adam and it had fallen. And the last creation is through Jesus Christ and it will not fall because we are a brand new creation. I jotted this down. It meant something to me and it does right now and maybe it does to you. But I thought about this for a minute, being a new creation in Christ. And I had to jot this down, that the work of God is greater than my failures. The work of God is greater than my sin. The work of God is greater than my fears. And the work of God is greater than my past. Or else I've got a wimpy, impotent, meaningless, glorified man-God thing. That's a nothing. But we're in Christ. How does God do this new work? He does it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And though He is not mentioned in here, I find this interesting, He's not mentioned in here. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because in John 16:13, the Bible says, Jesus said that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth, and He will not speak of His own, of His own authority, of His own self. So it's convenient that He's out here. He's left out. But He's the one that works in us. In Philippians 2:12, you should jot it down in your margin. It says right here, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence," Paul says only, "but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation," listen carefully, "with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Jack, what's the problem here? God's going to work out my salvation, but I'm supposed to work it out too? No, you know what that means? It means what you're doing right now. You come to worship, you come to study, you come to praise. You do the things that are your responsibility to do, and God's going to do what his responsibility is to do. When it says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it doesn't mean that you've got to work your way into heaven. It means that you be careful about your walk. You don't go trafficking places where you ought not to be going. Are you going to, am I going to lose my salvation? No, you're going to mess up your life. It makes it difficult. It makes it hard to grow. And the Holy Spirit, we drag him everywhere we go. We need to be careful and sensitive to him. God's work in us is a work that produces work through us. Watch this. And I'll say that again. I made that up, by the way. I thought it was pretty good, though. Listen. Listen to this. God's work in us is a work that produces work through us. Well, why am I saying this? Because the next verse says, or the next sentence says, "For he has created us in Christ Jesus for good works." Works do not save, but because we're saved, our lives will produce works. So God's work in us is a work that produces work through us. And I like this, people. And we're going to end with this thought. Pick up the next of it, rest of it next week. We need to be careful, you guys, to never doubt our value if this be the case. If we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, it means he's got a lot vested in us. He cares much. Jesus wants us to produce, and he's given us everything possible to produce. So we mustn't ever doubt our value to him. Men may devalue us, and they will. People will reject us, and they're going to do that. But God is basically saying right here, you guys want to talk about works? If you look back at verse 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God." And hey, verse 9, "Not of any works, lest you should boast." So don't get so big-headed about you being saved, you know. You can't do anything about it. I saved you. And he says that you've been created, though, for good works. And he's basically saying, if you want to talk about good works, you want to talk about works? God says, let's talk about me for a while. Because I've done it all. And because I've done it all in your life, you, because you know me, and because my Holy Spirit lives in you, you will produce fruit in your life that brings me glory and honor, that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is our purpose, by the way, all of us. This is the purpose for a human to be alive, is to bring God glory. And our works that we do bring God glory. Does it better our position with him? No. It's a token of our appreciation back to him. By the way, this person I was mentioning about earlier, the chopper guy, Harley Davidson dude, I don't think he'll mind me sharing this. It was so precious. He got a phone call from his mother, who is in a convalescent home, and she said, "There's a guy here who's really bugging me really bad." And she didn't know what changes had taken place in his life, so she was expecting him to come on over and yank the wheels off this guy's wheelchair. And this guy's big, man. I'm telling you, he's big. And he comes walking in there and he goes, "Are you the guy messing with my mom?" "No. My mom tells me you're messing with her. You got some dog here? Some little dog you're sicking on my mom?" "Yeah." "Don't do it again." "Why?" Because you can get in big trouble. Somebody will come and take that dog away. You want your dog to be taken away? No. Not only that, but they can put that dog down for what you're doing. I didn't know that. Well, you better watch it. All right. Walks away. His mom, like, she's like 80 some odd, or yeah, 81, whatever. She goes, I can't believe you didn't hit him. You normally would have hit him. And he says, well, Mom, I'm trying to be one of the, listen, I love this. They don't have the Christianese down yet. I'm trying to be one of those newborn Christians. Isn't that great? And I just, you just love that. And his mom says, there has sure been a change in your life. That's all you need to hear. Jesus, I don't care what was going on in Bosnia or in the White House or the Kremlin, Jesus smiled in that moment. He just went, yes! That's it. Brings him glory. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I've always wondered about that, and I've shared with you before. How does that work? When you're standing for righteousness and the world says, you're an idiot, you jerk, you Bible-believing weirdo, you, what kind of a nuthead are you? I personally believe that that's bringing glory to God when they do that. Because consider the rendering of the verse when Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that people, that men glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, you're praying. Oh, I glorify the Father. They don't even know Him. Oh, you're going to study your Bible at church tonight. I just glorify the Father which is in heaven. I don't think so. The Bible says that He will take the wrath of men to praise His name. I think when people mock you and put you down and come against you, I think that brings honor and glory to God Almighty. Paul the Apostle talked about it. Paul the Apostle told Timothy, he said, you cheer up. You live a life that's holy and blameless before all men, and the world, when they come against you, by your godly conduct, they will have no proof of their accusations against you. And he goes on to say in the same verse, thereby glorifying your Father. I love it. This is all part of the poem. This is all part of the work. What He's doing in our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 2:10, this is actually a mini-series called God's Wonderful Work, which means that we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, remember to take advantage of our offer, Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about history's most influential figure, then take advantage of this generous offer. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us, be it by calling, by clicking, or by writing, just ask for The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, it can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.